Now, there aren't too many claims that Northamptonshire has to world domination in a particular sport, but in the late 50s and the 60s, that is exactly what we had. And it was homegrown talent, homegrown in Earls Barton. To find out a little bit more about it, this morning, just before we got into the studio for our show this afternoon, I spoke to David Kipling, who's a very enthusiastic Northamptonian, or comes from the county. He now lives in Canada, near Vancouver, and when I spoke to him, it was 4:30 in the morning his time, and he was gracious enough to tell us about a real star on our doorstep. Let me start off by asking you then, David, you're in Canada, but you're actually, well, a local boy to Northamptonshire.
Yes, born on the farm and grew up in Brixworth. So, yes, that people say they can still hear it in my voice after all these years.
Well, there's a little bit of a burr in there, which is good news. And you come from a great place because it's got tremendous motorsport connections, although we're talking about somewhere slightly out towards the east of the county by comparison, Earls Barton, and a man who's, well, perhaps forgotten by the younger generation, but certainly known by devotees of stock car racing.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you've got listeners now, some of them should call their parents and grandparents to the radio to listen, because Aubrey Layton was followed and adored by tens of thousands of people up and down the country between, it was about 1955 and 1964 when he hung up his helmet.
We're used to hearing stories about Formula One racing drivers, which I suppose is what the public hear about these days, and they're very glamorous creatures and so on. Aubrey Layton from Earls Barton came from, well, a slightly more humble set of backgrounds, and actually he does have his own connections to Formula One racing in the modern age too, although he was racing in the late 50s and the early 60s.
Yeah, because he was a kind of a master technician. You know, in another age, or a little bit, if he'd been born a little bit later, he would have been a professional engineer or a scientist. He was a brilliant man, and he was always innovating. He would build anything. But if you know the Williams Formula One, the Grand Prix team,
indeed,
when Frank Williams was an amateur racer himself way back, he had his first little single-seater Formula. It was either a Formula 3 or a Formula Junior car. That was actually built at Aubrey's garage in Earls Barton. They're on the A45.
I'm told the garage is still there, so that the history lives on even today.
Yeah, it looks just the same as it did way back, yeah.
The only thing
that's missing is that he always used to park his stock car outside. It was called the Pinkun. Aubrey always painted his cars bright pink with a big number 42 on the side, which was his racing number. And for years, even after he retired for a couple of years, it was a bit sad. You could see the Pinkun parked out there in the weeds beside the garage.
Oh, that sounds almost like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the story of the great car itself.
Yeah.
I'm told equally by doing a bit of research, and I know you've got a website yourself, oldstocks.com. How long have you been running that for?
I was trying to figure it out. It must be 12 or 13 years now. And I started off with a shoebox of old photographs I'd taken at Brayfield Stadium. And heaven knows, over the years, once I put them onto the web, the wonderful thing that's happened for me and for this site is that from all over the place, all over England, people have been saying, oh, yeah, I was there with my dad in 1960, or so-and-so was my favorite driver, and here's a photograph. And I never intended it to happen, but there must be, I don't know if there's 300 or 400 photographs there, and people send me all their tall tales, you know, about their heroes or their villains. Because
if you come to our county, you have to go to Brayfield. It's one of those rites of passage places that you've got to go and visit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, thinking back, will remember going there perhaps as kids with their parents. And really, it hasn't changed. You go down that little lane between Brayfield, is it Hackleton or Horton at the other end?
Hackleton, that's right.
Yeah.
Fantastic place, fantastic memories. But Aubrey Layton started out as an engineer. He didn't start out as a racing driver. In fact, the racing was almost an accidental thing that he took on.
Yes, there's a couple of different stories about how it happened. But Brayfield was one of the very first stock car tracks in England. And he went to it in 1955 to begin with his tow truck as the breakdown man. And he had a young apprentice working for him called Harry Prigmore, and Harry persuaded Aubrey to modify a car and tow it out there and let Harry race, and famously Aubrey took one look and said, "You'd never get me in one of those."
And the rest is history. And he wound
up... in fact, what happened was he took Harry's car out for a couple of laps and that was it. He was hooked.
Oh, you're not having it back. It was one of those jobs, was it? I like this so much, I'm staying put, thank you very much. Now, he became world champion after going through, you know, umpteen races, but he could have been a multiple world champion. In fact, he'd almost got his hands on the second world championship, and then something happened which really took it all away from him.
Yes, and in the stock car community, I mean, people, old folks like me, still talk about it. He was, Aubrey won the first world championship in 1957, and then 1964 up at Coventry, Brandon as we used to call it, it was a filthy rainy night, and Aubrey was leading, and he was doing a beautiful job in difficult conditions. And coming down the last straight with like just one 180 degree corner to go, so perhaps 100 yards to his second world championship, somebody who he was passing, who was down in eighth place and two laps behind, turned into Aubrey and put him in the fence. And after that, Aubrey literally hung up his helmet and walked away from the sport and said, "That's it."
Presumably it was just accidental, wasn't it, David?
There
was no gamesmanship going on, was there?
Well, the truth is, these were rough and ready guys. This is not like Formula One Grand Prix. These are rough and ready guys, and they used to have feuds. And the funny thing is, they would put each other in the fence, and they would shake their fists. And then at the end of the race, they would lend each other their welding kit or spare tires or an engine or whatever. So it was kind of a different culture. But it was his old rival, Freddie Mitchell from Oxford, who did the dirty deed. And people my age are still talking about it today.
I bet he got booed off the track as well.
Aubrey
was one of the lads. I mean, you talk about the camaraderie of the pit lane. I don't think things have changed an awful lot. If you go to Brayfield in this day and age, maybe with the banger racing, but certainly with the stock car racing, that same sort of I'll help you out atmosphere still pervades today, doesn't it?
It does, and it's why I love the sport. It is marvellous. If you walk around the pits, you'll see the families brewing up tea. A lot of the racers convert a bus coach, mm-hmm. and they'll cut the back out and stick the stock car in the back part of the coach, and they'll have the family in the front part, and they'll be making tea and sandwiches. And you actually, one of the really the things that really impress me is you'll see youngsters, young chaps of 14, 15, 16, running around helping out as sort of gophers and getting their hands dirty. And you can see they, at the end of the day, they feel like kings because they've helped, you know, their champion, their driver, and they're doing a man's work in the pits. It's a most marvellous atmosphere. I got to tell you that you can't get within 100 yards of the pits at Silverstone.
No, I know exactly. I absolutely know what you're talking about. I mean, your enthusiasm for this comes across in spades. Yeah, I mean, you're out near Vancouver. If you talk about stock car racing in the States or in Canada, it's a very different kind of a sport. Do you get to what we would know as Brisker stock car racing? Do they have anything like that out in Canada?
Nothing quite. There is a formula here, I crossed the border into Washington State, called sprint cars, which is a quarter mile dirt track, but they have they don't have quite the rough tough tactics. It's fast enough, but there's nothing in the world. It's quite unique, British stock car racing.
And they say that American football is tougher than rugby. They don't know what they're talking about. when was the last time you got over here? Because I gather that coming from the States, there's a connection to Aubrey through the Second World War with a whiskey still from Kentucky.
Oh, well now, yes, we got to be careful. Let's say, yes, okay, so if people remember the Yanks, okay, people remember the air bases at Shelveston and Alconbury.
And the origins of Silverstone as well, a bomber base.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah.
And so what happened was the US Air Force always encouraged their people to have hobbies and to keep them happy. And quite a lot of them, of course, being technical, practical tradesmen, once they heard there was stock car racing here, they started to build their own cars. And what made Aubrey different was the Americans loved him because when they came over and brought some big engines and seemed to have one or two advantages, some of the British drivers got together and said, "Well, we don't like this." and at a public meeting, Aubrey Layton stood up and said, let them bring what they will, I'll race against them. Mm. And he made it his duty to befriend the American servicemen and show them around the tracks and introduce them to people. And his garage, in those days, there was often a barbecue and some light refreshments being consumed after the races with the Americans. And one of the Americans brought over, this is what is said, we've got to be careful, brought over the blueprint for a Kentucky whiskey still. And the only facts I'll say is that a whiskey still was built, and the whiskey still functioned. So there we go. I won't say any more than that.
I'm sure they were simply working on fuel additives to run in the stock cars, David.
That would be it.
We'll leave it at that level, shall we?
Yeah.
Now, I know that his family still, Aubrey's descendants, still live in the area.
Yeah.
There's one point which I haven't brought up just yet, and I would like to talk about it, because he does come across as a boy's own hero. He was brought up, you know, ramrod straight back, stiff upper lip. But when he was racing, I gather that thanks to polio, he had to make certain modifications to his cars, but he never made, you know, he never made a banner out of polio. He just got on with the thing.
Yes, in the late 1957 or so, he used to race quite a few British racers, used to go over to France. There was some stock car racing in the north of France. And they believe that while he was there, he got a mild form of polio, which left him limping quite badly. His left leg was no good, mm-hmm. and he walked with a stick. But being Aubrey Layton, the first thing he did was to figure out, now, how can I operate the clutch? So he set up a set of springs inside the body of the car that would support his leg enough that he could work the clutch. And that was what, in fact, you know, looking back to the chaps who were racing in the 50s and 60s, You saw a lot of limps and a lot of scars,
sure,
and,
yep.
you know, they were of rough and ready people who had been through a Second World War or National Service. They were skilled tradesmen who did heavy, dangerous jobs. So it was a kind of, they were very special character. You know, it's a bit of a cliche when they say, they don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they do. Reading the story and reading about him on your website and finding out a little bit more about the guy, I mean, he really does seem to have been a boy's own hero. Brought up in true values of playing the game and the honour of doing so as well. Proper true values, which perhaps are missing in certain sports in this day and age.
Yeah, actually, that's probably why he hung up his helmet. Mm. He used to teach his apprentices and his mechanics, you know, if they were doing a piece of work in the garage and they said to him, okay, is this good enough? He would bend over and whisper in their ear, we don't do good enough in this garage. We do it right or you don't do it at all. So he was a taskmaster and a perfectionist, and he believed the right, you know, doing the right thing.
Sounds like he could have been a benchmark for a few people in this day and age. David, it's fascinating to talk to you about the man, because stock car racing doesn't really get the high profile that perhaps it deserves, and
you're right.
The honour of helping.
It was always a working man's sport, yep. and in fact, when it began in the 1950s, when motorsport in England has always officially been run by the Royal Automobile Club,
mm-hmm.
and back then, the RAC, if one of their own competition drivers was found to be racing a stock car, he'd have his license removed. It was a very snooty division between the two.
Elitism in motorsport. We've never heard of that happening before, have we? It's fabulous to talk to you. I'm so glad that you very kindly got out of bed at horrible o'clock to come and talk to us today. I'll look forward to seeing you back over in the UK before too long, and perhaps we'll go out to Brayfield and go and have a cup of coffee and go and watch what's going on in the pitch, shall we?
That would be super. It's been a great joy, actually, to talk about a sport that I've loved since I was a kid.
David, thank you very much indeed, and enjoy the rest of your day over in Vancouver.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Two amazing characters. David Kipling talking about Aubrey Layton. I never knew that we had a world champion stock car racer right in our midst, and the garage is still there as well. If you'd like to know more, then you can go and have a look at David's website. We made reference to it in our chat. www.oldstocks, and it's STOX, by the way, oldstocks.com. You'll find all sorts of things there, including pictures of the old Pinken, Aubrey Layton's car. Fantastic. Welcome to the afternoon show.
John Griff. BBC Radio Northampton.